Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, but we're taking a little bit of a different shift today. We're going to be talking about future power. That's right. And obviously, whenever we're going to be talking about the future, ideas have to come from the mind. Everything starts with a thought. And my guest today is Marie Jones, and she and Larry Flaxman have put together this book. It's from the future. Marie, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you on the air. Before we went on the air, I was asking you, you and Larry have been popping out these books, and I go, gee whiz, it just seems like you have all of this going on. You said, that's what I do. I write. This is what I do. This is your career, your work. And for those that are listening to the show that perhaps have no familiarity with you and Larry, you wrote 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, The Trinity Secret, The Deja Vu Enigma. You have written screenplays. You have done speaking. You're both involved in television and radio. You've just got such an incredible background relative to this, and I know you could be a woo-woo specialist if you wanted to be.
I like that title. I think I'd like that. I'm one of those strange people that likes to just constantly be doing something, and I'm not good at taking vacations or sitting idle, and I've just been that way since I was a kid. I always had to have my fingers in something, and I guess you could say I'm a workaholic, but I work very strange hours as a writer. I can pretty much do what I want, so I do spend a lot of time, you know, with my son and just hanging out and having fun. And mm-hmm. I think that's what I like about this being a writer, is that I am in total control of my time, quote unquote.
Oh, gee, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Larry for a moment. He's not going to be on the air with us, but he's the president and senior researcher of ARPAST. I would pronounce it ARPAST.
ARPAST.
It's the Arkansas mm-hmm. Paranormal and Anomalous Studies Team, and this was founded in February of 2007, and there's over 150 members of this group, and exploring the paranormal is very, very significant. He has mm-hmm. all kinds of equipment. This guy could possibly do a Ghostbuster movie. And he's been
involved
in, I could just see him finding these green, slimy things all over the place. But he really has a love of the facts of this.
Right, right.
And
the more scientific approach,
yes.
And trying to remain as objective. But also, keeping in mind that a lot of what we're dealing with is subjective, it's personal, may not be able to be proven right now with the science and knowledge that we have at the time, but just really trying to understand how this phenomenon works, what's going on behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because we can come up with ideas and he can go with his group out into the field and do some actual ground research, if you will. So it's a really great partnership in that respect.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that unlike, let's say, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, actually go back 150, 200, 2000,
right.
Whatever, so many times, fear was manipulated by those in power or in the positioning of authority, which is saying the same thing, saying, we don't want you to explore. We mm-hmm. don't want you to step into the unknown. We want you to be afraid of the unknown.
Oh,
and
exactly.
I have often been surprised, especially when I interact with the public, how many people are terrified of things that might be labeled paranormal. And all paranormal
right.
means it's beyond our understanding.
Beyond
that's
right.
all.
Exactly.
That's all it means. And so I loved this book because what you did, and yes, folks, I actually read it, what you did was go into so many different arenas of thought that have been talked about for generations. And one of them, and you start your book off with it in the introduction, and that is about time travel.
Which, right.
Hey, we all do it. Especially mm-hmm. when we're dreaming, believe it or not. But
right.
it's something that the actuality of a machine, the actuality of being able to, in our physical reality, be able to bend time, be able to manipulate an energy frequency so you make a shift. Well, people do that all the time, but it's not dramatic like the movie. What
right.
spurred the interest here? Because you've got a number of topics. You talk about time and all different aspects of it. What triggered this? What was it that made the two of you collaborate into this venue?
Wow. Well, whenever we get to the point where we're ready to pitch a new idea to our publisher, it's always, okay, what are we really interested in, and what do we want to spend time researching and writing about and then talking about, promoting and talking about afterwards? And, you know, time travel is just something we'd always been interested in individually, and our publisher actually at the same time was interested in having a book done about time travel that was very accessible to the you know, the lay audience, because a lot of the books that we were reading were just so deep physics, and they were so hard to understand. So we thought, well, we'll put together a sort of one-stop shopping book about time travel, the more mental aspects of time travel, time itself, the time travel conspiracy, just everything that we could think of, the current research, you know, pop culture. And so that really became the goal, was to try to just put together a book where people could read it, and then they could go and further pursue the very specific aspects of time or time travel that really fascinated them, because there's so many.
Oh, it really is. And H.G. Wells wrote the story, The Time Machine, and science fiction writers have so often been so far ahead of the curve.
Oh,
and
yeah.
many times
Absolutely.
They stimulate concepts and ideas where someone will say, this could work.
Mm-hmm.
They get very innovative because of the imagination of someone that says, in the written word, I can paint whatever picture I want. But
exactly.
I always love to say, look at what Gene Roddenberry and his writers, who many of them were physicists,
yeah.
what they were able to convey, and this goes, you know, a ways back. But he implemented Star Trek, and look at how many things, the talking computer and everything else that we have today, in 2000. And the computer
right.
was already around, but the conceptualization of having something that was so efficient. And I'm still waiting for the self-cleaning house, but we haven't gotten there yet.
I know. Oh, I'm sure that's on the way.
I'm all for this. But anyway, I digress there for a moment. But I really find it absolutely wonderful.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I think that's what's
exciting
mm-hmm. about science in general, not just time travel, but so much of our scientific discovery often starts out in the minds of imaginative writers, creative writers, who are not bound by protocol and academic rules, and, you know, they can just think and write and imagine whatever they want. And so what happens is they end up pushing the outside of the envelope, and then later science says, hey, I wonder if there's something to that. And they start researching, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's just amazing how, you know, you talk about Star Trek and things like teleportation and cloaking, invisibility cloaking, and all these wonderful things that came out of the Star Trek series and Star Wars movies, and, oh my gosh, all the novels and short stories of the past. we're now, every week practically, you see a story about, Duke University or Cornell University researchers have done this, and they've discovered this, and they can do this, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I read about that 20 years ago in a science fiction novel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. And that is what I find so wonderfully fascinating about this. And I think of Arthur C. Clarke. I haven't read all of his books, but I've read...
Oh, my gosh. Didn't he write, like,
you?
1,000?
I don't know. But
yeah.
I can remember having picked one up for the first time. I think it was 5 years ago or so. And I picked it up, and I read it, and I said, he's talking about robots. He's talking about... time travel, all kinds of things in this one book. And I went, this guy, for all of the poo-pooing he had on the Arthur Clarke television show, he would say, well, there's nothing with this with the psychic stuff and blah, blah, blah. Yet this man was so far ahead of his time and was so incredibly intuitive himself, I just thought he must really be at war with himself periodically because he transcended time. And one of the things I remember someone in his family talking about, that they were being interviewed, they said he had absolutely no idea. For example, when it came to tea, he lived in England in his early years and was there and was teaching and writing. And I think it was his brother. He said when they would serve tea, at high tea at 4 o'clock, he didn't have any idea where it came from. All he knew is that it was there at 4 o'clock. That's all
right.
He cared about. And all of us would probably sit there and go, you have got to be kidding. This guy doesn't know, but he entered into a different space. When he was writing, when he was doing his work, he was in a different time. He was in a different place. He zoomed. And I've known this to happen with many, many people. And as a writer, sometimes I have found myself doing that. You go into a place and a space that has no time. It is absolutely non-existent as we experience it. So your book is really intriguing. And one of the concepts that you have in here, which I really, really liked, and you bring it out because it's historically a fact, that in Eastern traditions, time is conceptualized as a circle, not as
right,
a linear
a
line.
Right.
And often... And 6,000 B.C. in the writings that you mention in your book, it was depicted, time was depicted as a serpent or a dragon eating its own tail.
Right.
And I was
right.
intrigued with this, and you talked also about the Celtic culture, described as spiraling into autumn, the Tabwa tribe in Africa, talked about time being a spiral. And geologists today use the same description.
Isn't that
wonderful?
Something. Yes, it is. I love how it always all links together, and there's such commonality in the way that cultures think and sort of symbolize and describe something like time. It's funny, though, because Western, we're all so busy and distracted that I think we've kind of gotten away of that sort of circle of time concept, and to us it's just the straight arrow past to the present to the future, and you'll never get the past back, and you've got to worry and stress about the future. And it almost seems like we've gone away from that more organic and natural concept of time as being more of a loop or a circle, like the cycle of time. And that's sad. You know, we've talked before about the distractions of society today, and I think that does affect how we perceive time and whether or not we use the time we're given well, because we all get the same amount. But isn't it funny how some people think that it goes by so quickly and others say it just doesn't go by quick enough?
Well, mentioning that, you have a quote in your book by Henry Van Dyke that says, time is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice, but for those who love, time is eternity.
I love that quote.
I think
yes.
Delightful. Now, let's talk about MIT for a moment, because there was a 2009 study led by a professor, Anne Grabeel, and it had to do with the neurons in the primate brain actually coding or stamping time with extreme precision. And I found that a fascinating statement. Also, there's the University of Edinburgh, Scotland, in 2008 saying, Hummingbirds use linear time. How in the world could they even figure that one out?
Those little hummers
are just humming all the time. We've got them in our backyard. How in the world do you keep up with them?
I have no idea how they know these things, without just asking. Time is being researched in every possible aspect and way, whether it's can we somehow break the entropy and the arrow of time and, you know, the fact that the universe seems to go from order to disorder, but we can't go backwards and put it back in order again, and how animals perceive time, and the thing is that the human brain, we know, and again, looking at neurons, looking at behavior in the brain, looking just at the structure of the brain itself and how much of the brain is involved in the storing and recall of memory, we know that linear time is a construct of the human brain.
Mm-hmm.
And for any living thing, we could probably say the same because, you know, as different as we are with so many creatures, a lot of us have similar brains. So the idea is that we, for some functional reason, and I think it's just simply because it works to help us live a life, the human brain is constructed to perceive time in a linear fashion, and that is to help us put the events and experiences that happen to us in a specific order that makes sense. There's a wonderful quote, and now I can't remember who said it, but the idea that time is our way of making sure everything doesn't happen at once or something to that effect. But that's basically what we're doing. In the quantum world and in the cosmic world, time happens all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Past, present, and future, it's all there in a landscape all at once. But we as humans, and I guess you could apply that to hummingbirds and all living things, have to perceive some kind of order to events so that it makes sense and that we're able to live a functional life and reproduce and take care of our young and we get old and pass it on to the next generation. So it really almost is as if time is a human construct.
Nikola Tesla. This is a man that was an absolute genius. I'm surprised people haven't called him an alien from another time. This guy was absolutely incredible in his thinking, and he actually, according to recorded history, had a brush with time travel, and he was working with highly charged rotating magnetic fields. He had been experimenting with radio frequencies, the transfer of electricity through the atmosphere, and he accidentally warped time and space and created a doorway into time and space. And he had this experience in 1895. And this is just mind-boggling to me.
It is.
And this is all in
the fact that he could have died, too.
Yes. And he was hit with a ball of electricity with 3.5 million volts. It actually detached from the transformer he had designed, floated across the room, and I've seen fireballs. That's what they're called.
Ball lightning.
I've seen them.
Ugh.
But this one was huge, and it encompassed him. And he survived it because he had an assistant working with him, and they turned off the flow. Otherwise, he would have been cooked alive. But in that tiny bit of time, in our observation, he glimpsed things, he saw things, and it was just incredible, this story.
Yeah, and he is looked at as sort of leading the research that came later into whether or not time has anything to do with the electromagnetic field, warping the electromagnetic field, which was supposedly a part of the Philadelphia experiment conspiracy, that the electromagnetic field around a ship was altered and manipulated to render the ship invisible. And a lot of later research, too, into whether or not we could somehow manipulate the EM field in order to create a wormhole or a portal. And that's what Tesla is alleged to have done. And his assistant literally, you know, thank God saved him because he went on to do more interesting research before he died. But he really did lead the way, and he doesn't get a lot of credit. You know, we talk more about Einstein and all of his theories and laws, and of course Einstein was obsessed with time travel as well, and passed away before he could really look at how light speed might one day be breached, which of course his rule was you can't do that, and that's what keeps us from being able to time travel. But Tesla really doesn't get enough credit for all the things that he does, and I think it's because he was always described as being very eccentric, sort of a maverick and a loner. But definitely the idea that you might be able to alter or open a doorway by doing the things that he did, that is something that has continued to this day.
I think any time, science for many is like a religion. And
yes.
As so often it is portrayed, it's like, oh, this is it, this is our God, science,
right,
and
right.
You can't tamper with things. Well, the real scientist is going to tamper, period.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're going to say, this is a bunch of hooey. We've gone past 10,552.7. We've gone past that. Now we've got to push. Now we've got to find out even more. And because of the telescope that's out in space, when they finally got that working right, then a whole mass amount of worlds opened up to them that so many people have said they do not exist, and they do exist.
Exactly.
So now we have this younger generation that's coming up that's exposed to a whole different perspective, and those that are daring will say, we can go beyond this.
Right.
And that's the history of mankind. It seems like we have to break these paradigms, and we're breaking paradigms quite rapidly.
And oh, it's
not
amazing.
To disavow the wisdom of what's been discovered in the past, but there are things that are changing so quickly.
Yes, and every week.
It's because of technology.
And I agree about what you said, that science can be thought of in the scientific community as a religion, but it does take those open-minded mavericks to say, you know,
right.
I know we have our academic rules and protocols, but I want to know, is this going to blow up if I do this? And sometimes they risk their lives, but that's where the breakthroughs come from. And I really think that science is nothing more than rediscovering the knowledge of how things work that already exists. We just can't see it. So it's like we're rediscovering it based upon the level of our technology, and you refer to the Hubble telescope, the idea that before we could see out into the cosmos, we had a much different idea of what was out there. And now at the Large Hadron Collider in CERN, we're getting views of the quantum world that we never imagined. And it's just so amazing how every time science advances, obviously our knowledge does, and the possibilities advance along with it.
Mm-hmm. And that can be very frightening. Because in today's world, it's advancing at such a pace that for many people, where we used to have 30 or 40 years or 50 years maybe to adjust,
right?
Not anymore. You have things occurring almost on a daily basis because of the many, many minds that and the opportunities, educational institutions, et cetera, that are able to communicate almost instantaneously. But it still does take time. I find it fascinating that usually for any invention, rarely is it under 20 years. And I don't care about computers or anything else. It's always that curve. It just seems to be something there before you get the bugs out. It seems like about 20 years. And
you're right, and then all of a sudden, boom.
and people go, woo, isn't this, this is instantaneous. No. It has really taken a good deal of time. Now, once the momentum is there, then it seems to move along.
Then
but
everybody
I'm
notices.
So intrigued. I'm just so intrigued with that. Let's talk about a man, Goodell. And I may be mispronouncing his name, so if I am, please correct me.
I think it's close. Goodell. Kurt Goodell.
Okay. This is a man I'd never heard about.
That's
amazing.
That's the sad thing. There are a lot of, you know, the more research we did, the more names we ran across. It's like, who's this? And there are a lot of amazing minds, male and female, that do a lot of work behind the scenes. And you don't always know their names because they're not. For example, Kurt Goodell, his claim to fame, and what he did is he took Einstein's field equations and he worked with them to develop a time travel theory of his own. called Rotating Universes, and it was a very workable theory involving the idea that if you have a rotating universe, you can have what are called closed time-like curves, and they're like loops that would allow you to travel back and forth in time, just like you were traveling in a loop. You could go back forth at will. And he developed this amazing theory based upon the equations that Einstein had come up with. The problem is we don't have a rotating universe. So I think that's one of the reasons why Gödel did not get the fame that he deserved. What he was doing was theorizing about different ways that you could make time travel happen if, it's like, if this, then that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the back end of that idea was that we don't have the kind of universe that would allow for the closed time-like curves to happen. But it is amazing. I mean, we found names of people who were instrumental in wormhole research and, you know, so many different ideas working with light speed. But it's always the same names that you hear about because, like Einstein, he set down the foundation from which other people took their research and sort of ran with it. So,
well, and he also got the most PR. Let's
and he
it.
Looked funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he did.
And yes. I mean, he was brilliant, you know. But the thing is that even now a lot of his laws are being challenged. And and I do remember, you know, reading interviews with him, he himself stating, and any good scientist will tell you, that one day their discoveries and laws will go right out the window. Mm-hmm. As more knowledge and more discovery occurs.
I agree. Wormholes, you have diagrams in your book, and this is really written for the layperson. And there, speaking of Albert Einstein, you have a quote, "There comes a time when the mind takes a higher plane of knowledge, but can never prove how it got there." Hmm. And I think that that is one of the aspects that science has difficulty with, because science in and of itself is supposed to be able to replicate whatever is stated. And we all know, if we've had out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences or psychic flashes or what have you, you can't replicate this stuff. I mean,
exactly.
This is something that goes on. Healers that transfer energy, it can be documented in a lab. Olga Worrell was one of many who has done this scientifically over and over and over again, ad nauseum. And yet they say, oh, this is not possible. Well, of course it is. Let's get real. You just are not going to be able to replicate it.
Exactly. We haven't figured
like a
out
little
the
card puncher.
Right. We haven't figured out the science behind so many things. And so we say, oh, that's not possible. That's our all-purpose way of sort of brushing things under the rug that we haven't been able to, in our human arrogance, figure out yet. But when things are happening to so many millions of people, you cannot brush that under the rug. You simply have to pay attention to the experiences that may be more subjective, that may, you know, we have a whole chapter about mental time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because we thought, okay, well, we write about these kinds of things, so we're going to look into the idea that dreams and precognitive visions and even deja vu and all these different things are mental aspects of time travel. Well, lo and behold, we find out there are actually research studies into what's called chronesthesia, mental time travel, and researchers who are looking at how the brain may be doing that all the time. So science always takes a while to catch up.
And isn't that fun? Now, I know we're almost out of time, but I will tell you, they have a little bit of information in here about a UFO connection, time travel,
yes.
Some things captured on film that cannot be explained. It is a fascinating, fascinating read. And Marie, this is just absolutely wonderful. And I want my audience to know the website they can go to find out more about your books, about Larry's books. Can you give us that information?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, which is www.paraexplorers, P-A-R-A, explorers, all one word, paraexplorers.com. And Larry's organization, RPAST, is at rpast.org, A-R-P-A-S-T.org. Wonderful information about what his group does. And I have a personal website, which is mariedjones.com. But basically, and all the information is on all three about the books and everything that we have going on.
Well, I think this is marvelous. I love stuff like this because it is just so much fun to talk about.
It is. Curl.
And it is a delight having you on the show again. Congratulations to both of you on this book is from the future, because I think it makes a fascinating read. And it's a great thing to pop up in a conversation, because most people are going to say, wow.
Huh?
And you'll be able to, if anybody has this, they'll be able to name names and just have a blast and impress people with absolutely fabulous information. This book is from the future. Check out MarieDJones.com. That's her website. ParaExplorers.com. ARePass.org. There's just so much there. Check it out. I think you will have the time of your life. It's always fun to dip into the unknown, but you're going to find out there's a lot of stuff that really is known, and that's what this book, Is From the Future, is all about. Marie, thank you so much for being my guest, and we'll be chatting again, I'm sure, when your
Absolutely.
Next one comes out.
Always a
All
pleasure.
Right, my dear.
Thank
you have
you.
A great weekend. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. I've got a wonderful story that I want to share with you, but before I do that, I want to give you some information. Number one, if you want to give me a buzz, call me at 888-627-6008. That's our toll-free line here, and you can chat with me. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Number two, this weekend is the second weekend of the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. Oh, it's going to be gloriously beautiful. If you're in Western Washington, I am just telling you, this is a fabulous weekend to be there. They're going to have, this is a fairy theme this weekend. So the costumes are just going to be awesome that you're going to see. And this is being held out at the Kelly Farms in Bonnie Lake. And if you'd like more information on this, go to Washington Fair, S-A-I-R-E, WashingtonFair.com, WashingtonFair.com, and you'll get all the details. And do stop by my booth and say hello. I'll be doing many sessions out there. And look for the gigantic bright yellow banners with the big red lions on them, and you'll find me right there. And also, I wanted to mention there is an incredible series of events coming up this month of August in Seattle. And if you want to have an understanding about meditation, want to meet a man who is called an avatar in India, his name is Siddhas Yoga Parampara Hamsa Yoga Sangh. This is a man incredibly talented. He is here to share his knowledge and his wisdom. There are three events coming up. The weekend of August the 25th, on Saturday. This is free to the public, and it's a healing and enlightenment workshop with Yogi Raj. Also on Sunday, August the 26th, from 5 to 9, there's going to be a Kundalini Kriya Yoga Empowerment Workshop with Yogi Raj. And then August 31st through the September the 3rd, there's a Kundalini Kriya Yoga of Babaji Retreat with Yogi Raj. Now, you can find out about this by going to siddhanath.org, and that's siddhanath.org. And if you want to email them about all of the details, if what you see on the website is not enough, email them at events at siddhanath.org. This is an incredible event, and I really hope if you're in the area, you'll consider going to one of these events. This is a trip that has been planned for a long time, and it's going to be quite an exceptional experience, I believe. I hope to attend one of them myself. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you a story out of the book. This book is from the future, about two women. And these women have really had an experience that was unparalleled, although I am sure there are others that have had similar experiences. It's called a time slip. I might use the terminology of a time warp experience. Now, this involved two English women. In fact, there was a program on this that I saw many years ago, and it was so well portrayed. But these two women, Charlotte Ann Moberly and Eleanor Jourdain, they were the principal and vice principal of St. Hugh's College in Oxford, England. Now, they had a time slip in 1901 in the gardens of Versailles, France. Now, this is what happened. The two women were apparently looking for a path that led to the Petit Trianon, private palace of Marie Antoinette. When they found themselves off of the path that they had been walking on and on another one, both of these women felt an overwhelming sense of oppression and dreariness as they spotted an old deserted farmhouse and some abandoned farm equipment. Now, I'm going to stop there. We've got a caller. I'm going to take this call, and then I'll tell you the rest of the story. Donna Sebo here. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Arushni, and I'm calling from San Francisco.
I'm sorry, dear. I didn't hear your name. Your voice sort of gurgled away from me.
Arushni?
Would you? I'm sorry. I still couldn't hear it.
Hiroshimi.
What an interesting name. Okay, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is an image of this very, very large white palette, white canvas. And it's framed, it's on a frame, and the canvas is very taut. When I'm looking at this, I'm seeing you sitting in front of it, and you have all the tools that you need to be able to execute whatever it is that you're wanting to put on this large canvas. And I would say this canvas looks to me like maybe a 10 by 10. And when I'm watching you, I'm seeing you hesitating because you seem to feel that this is going to be too big for you. that you don't have the experience, you don't have the expertise. You're going through a lot of uncertainty as I'm watching this imagery in my mind. And what I want to say to you is that you need to realize that this is representing the unknown. And it is time for you to put into action the skills that you've been cultivating. You're never going to know it all, my dear. Not ever. So you must begin.
Mm-hmm.
And like most artists, you begin with a whitewash. And that apparently has been done. But this is representing opportunity for you. So you are stepping into an environment that is going to create, and this seems to be coming about in September, a real sense of apprehension. You're concerned that maybe you have taken on something that's too big for you to do. And that's ridiculous. You're quite competent and quite capable of doing what's right in front of you. So you are going through a growth patterning right now that is showing you it is time for you to step up and start doing. That's what the artist palette and paints. You have all the tools necessary to do what will be required of you. And it will only be through your fear that you'll be held back. And there's no one to blame here. You just need to dip down inside yourself and just start doing. And in the imagery that I have, that means picking up a brush, putting some color on the canvas. Don't try to have everything perfect before you begin. It will never be perfect. You start right where you are right now. So if I could put this into context, you have felt as if you have been pushing a monstrous boulder, trying to push it up all by yourself. You're not using any leverage. You have just been working so hard, and you feel like things keep coming down on you. Well, you need to understand that you're going to need the help of others. You need to understand you're not going to be able to do everything on your own. Now, intellectually, you may understand this to a point, but your fear is keeping you back from getting really involved because you think others are more competent than you. Well, that's absolutely a fact. But how can you become competent if you don't try? You have to put the effort out. No wailing, no moaning, no crying, just start doing. Even if it's volunteering for an organization to gain some skills, some self-confidence, whatever it takes, but go for it. Don't wait. You've got everything working for you. You have to put the tools of your skills and talents into application. Go for it. This is the time to initiate the action. Do you have a question for me?
When will I meet Mr. Wright?
Well, I'll tell you what. You need to get moving. You are using all kinds of things as an excuse. Get moving. Start doing. Don't wait, because nobody's going to come up to your front door and tap on it and say, "Hi, we've been looking for you for the last 20 years. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. And part of this is a maturation into your own womanhood. This is part of your initiation into maturity.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear. And I appreciate the call.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Thiebaud. If you'd like to give me a buzz, give me a call at 888-627-6008. Let me continue with my story about Charlotte and Eleanor. Now, when they're walking and they feel this oppression and this overwhelming sense of dread and dreariness, they encounter people as they're walking that are dressed beautifully, they're very dignified, and they think that, for some reason, that these people are the palace gardeners. They pass a cottage where a woman and a young girl stand frozen in time, and everything looked rather strange. It didn't seem natural. Even the trees were flat and lifeless, much like you would see the work in a tapestry. and you know those great big tapestries that they hang in palaces. They said there were no effects of light and shade, and no wind moved the leaves on the trees. Now, there's even more to this story. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment, and I'll finish this for you. Don't go away. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Phone number to call in to if you would like to chat with me is 888-627-6008. Continuing the story about these two women, eventually, when they're walking, trying to get to Marie Antoinette's palace, they encounter a man, and they didn't like him at all. In fact, they described him as someone that they felt just radiated evil. And apparently, there was a count who was an enemy of Marie Antoinette's, and their description of the man that they saw fit this count's image. Then they encountered a tall man who took them to Marie Antoinette's palace. Now, when they saw these people, strangely dressed, elegantly dressed, men and women wearing clothing from another time and place, and this kept going along, and they had all of these interesting sensations of things not being right, feeling oppressive, and then they rounded the corner of one building, and it was all gone. It was gone. Everything returned to normal. Now, these two women, this experience was so profound for them, they wrote a book called An Adventure, and it was under the pseudonyms of Miss Morrison and Miss Lamont. Now, this story, they said, was absolutely true, and I want to share another one with you. When I was in my early 20s and I had started getting involved in the psychic area, I had the opportunity to have a conversation with a woman who at the time was in her 70s. She had an experience with time travel or being in what I would describe as a time warp. She was a real estate agent. She was working in an area like California City, California, and she said she looked at her watch and she was aware that she had an appointment. She started on this road, and at that time, there wasn't a lot in the area. There was this long, long, empty road. And she started driving down a road she had driven hundreds of times before, and she kept driving and driving and driving. Then it started getting dark, and she happened to look at her watch. Now, she had had no sense of time whatsoever. And she looked at her watch, and it was hours later. she began to become frightened. She said, I just didn't know what to do because I was driving and driving and driving, and now you would think that she would have run out of gas, but she didn't. So there was a road on the side that she saw. She said, I was in this space. As soon as she turned off on this side road, she was out of that time warp. And she said, when this happened to me, after I had the experience, she said, I was just shaking. Well, this woman was extremely psychic. This is a woman that had had gifts of seeing from the time she was born. And she experienced all of these different things. And I was one of the first people that she ever shared this with. And I thought it was so interesting that she would come to me, someone that was in their 20s, with all of her phenomenal life experience, to share it with me. And she said, why do these things happen to me? She had been gifted in so many ways, but in her generation, the people that had been in her life were not supportive of it at all. And she had a number of other experiences that perhaps I will share with you at another time. But I did want to mention that to you. Marie has it in the book. It's in this book. It's from the future. It's a fascinating read. So many people have had unique experiences that you just can't encapsulate and throw away and say, this is a bunch of hooey. After all, and I'm sure those of you listening, each of you have had your own unique experiences. And I find people, no matter what culture they come from, male, female, it doesn't make any difference. Each of them will have phenomenal experiences that transcend what we know as time. And it makes for, I think, fabulous conversation. I just absolutely love it because there is so much in life that we know absolutely nothing about. And I wanted to share something with you with a woman by Marie Olson. And she said her church usually had an annual campout at a particular place on a river in Oregon. And she said this was a family tradition. We did it every year. And her husband's name was Butch. And she said, our children, we had been doing this for over 20 years. And we just loved it. We loved the hiking, the fishing, and all of this kind of stuff. And the family really, really grew. There was a whole bunch of grandkids and spouses. Well, one year was not such a happy year. And that is because her husband, Butch, got cancer. And he had passed away rather quickly after his diagnosis. And nothing felt right. And he would just... He had such wonderful things that he always shared with the family. And when they had done their last camping trip, they'd gone through a lot of things. They'd done shopping. And she remembered him holding one of their grandchildren one evening on their last camping trip. And as these memories were flooding her mind, she wondered, am I ever going to know that contentment again? Well, the family decided they were going to continue this wonderful, wonderful tradition. And her daughter, and this is the first trip the entire family had done the summer after Butch's death, her daughter, Christy, picked up something off of the ground at the campsite. And she wanted to know if anybody had dropped it, and it was a postcard. Everybody said, no, we don't have any postcards with us. And Christy called her mother over. She said, Mom, you've got to see this. And she said, well, what's the big deal? It's just a postcard. And she handed it to Marie. The postcard wasn't a postcard. It was a photograph. It was a photograph of her husband, Butch, holding one of his grandchildren in his arms. It had been taken in the very spot that they had camped in their last camping trip, and it was in this campsite that they had chosen. She said she felt somehow it had been put there as a reminder that love never dies. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life in itself to me is a miracle. And I'm so grateful that you were able to join me today. Won't you join me next week? We've got some fabulous people coming up. On Monday, we're going to be talking with Denise DeSimone from Stage 4 to Center Stage. Songs of My Song, Susan Dentino. Awakening the Brain, Charlotte Tomeno. Dale Cox, where we're going to be talking about the top secret flight. And last but not least, military response to UFO activity. We've got a dynamic lineup of guests. I hope you'll join me. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent weekend. Wherever you are, whatever you do, be safe. God bless. I'll talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
Hey, this is Nico.
Have been listening to the Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.